I'm a modern man, a man for the millennium, digital and smoke-free, a diversified multicultural postmodern deconstructionist, politically, anatomically, and ecologically incorrect. I've been uplinked and downloaded, I've been inputted and outsourced, I know the upside of downsizing, I know the downside of upgrading. I'm a high-tech lowlife, a cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, bi-coastal multitasker, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond. I'm new wave, but I'm old school, and my inner child is outward bound. I'm a hot-wired, heat-seeking, warm-hearted, cool customer, voice-activated and biodegradable. I interface with my database is in cyberspace, so I'm interactive, I'm hyperactive, and from time to time I'm radioactive. Behind the eight ball, ahead of the curve, riding the wave, dodging the bullet, pushing the envelope. I'm on point, on task, on message, and off drugs. I got no need for coke and speed. I got no urge to binge and purge. I'm in the moment, on the edge, over the top, but under the radar. A high-concept, low-profile, medium-range ballistic missionary. A streetwise smart bomb. A top gun bottom feeder. I wear power ties. I tell power lies. I take power naps. I run victory laps. I'm a totally ongoing Bigfoot slam dunk rainmaker with a proactive outreach. A raging workaholic. A working rageaholic. Out of rehab and in denial. I got a personal trainer, a personal shopper, a personal assistant, and a personal agenda. You can't shut me up, you can't dumb me down, because I'm tireless and I'm wireless. I'm an alpha male on beta blockers. I'm a non-believer, I'm an overachiever, laid back and fashion forward. Up front, down home, low rent, high maintenance. I'm supersized, long-lasting, high-definition, fast-acting, oven-ready, and built to last. A hands-on, foot-loose, knee-jerk head case, prematurely post-traumatic, and I have a love child who sends me hate mail. But I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. A supportive, bonding, nurturing primary caregiver. My output is down, but my income is up. I take a short position on the long bond, and my revenue stream has its own cash flow. I read junk mail, I eat junk food, I buy junk bonds, I watch trash sports. I'm gender-specific, capital-intensive, user-friendly, and lactose intolerant. I like rough sex. I like tough love. I use the F word in my email, and the software on my hard drive is hardcore, no soft porn. I bought a microwave at a mini mall. I bought a minivan at a megastore. I eat fast food in the slow lane. I'm toll-free, bite-sized, ready-to-wear, and I come in all sizes. A fully equipped, factory-authorized, hospital-tested, clinically proven, scientifically formulated medical miracle. I've been pre-washed, pre-cooked, pre-heated, pre-screened, pre-approved, pre-packaged, post-dated, freeze-dried, double-wrapped, and vacuum-packed, and I have an unlimited broadband capacity. I'm a rude dude, but I'm the real deal. Lean and mean, cocked, locked, and ready to rock. Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. I take it slow. I go with the flow. I ride with the tide. I got glide in my stride. Driving and moving, sailing and spinning, jiving and grooving, wailing and winning. I don't snooze, so I don't lose. I keep the pedal to the metal and the rubber on the road. I party hardy, and lunchtime is crunch time. I'm hanging in, there ain't no doubt, and I'm hanging tough, over and out.
Thanks for listening to great speeches and interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining us, we're listening to reporter Julia Kumari Grapekin tell the story of Colorado State climatologist Nolan Doskin. And then later, Ben Calhoun tells about former congressional representative from South Carolina, Bob Ingus, and Ira Glass talks to writer and activist Bill McKibben, of course, about climate change.
And here's what Nolan tells them. Scientists are not 100% certain, but they are, he says, pretty darned confident that the globe is warming and that it's our fault.
2012 told me something that I hadn't been able to come to grips with that well until 2012 came along. The temperatures we experienced this year, which were pretty extreme, yeah, they happened before. 1934, it happened before. So natural variations can cause it. But if the computer models are anything close to right, and I'm not a computer modeler, you can't shoot at me, but if those models are anywhere close to right, 2012 will be an average year in just a few decades.
So that was it. Kind of soft, but he said it. And then he got nervous, changed the subject, toggled back a few slides, and started talking about flooding.
Flooding!
And then it was over. I wondered if people even got what he was saying. So I asked around in the crowd afterwards. I met Dave Sharman, who raises cattle.
What about that last story that he just told?
What was it on? Oh, on floods?
The one where you're talking about climate change.
on the flood part, you mean?
Well, yeah, and just his little story about climate change. You don't remember that part?
No. I sure don't. I know he talked about something there, but I don't remember the specifics.
As for the newspaper reporter Nolan always worried about from the Greeley Tribune, he left before the end. He had a basketball game to go to, so he missed his scoop. Nolan's big warning wasn't even on the record.
Does that give you a sense of relief?
Yeah, this time around, I would say disappointment, because in the past, I dreaded the story being written about Duskin speaking about climate change, and I don't dread that anymore. That's a change. And when I said that, there was a lot of nodding of heads, more than ever. It was amazing to see.
Measured against the damages from the weather last year, billions of dollars of lost property and revenue nationwide, and measured against the massive changes climate models predict for the coming decades in Colorado, what the state's top climate official took was a tiny step. But at least it was a first step. Nolan spent so many years being afraid, feeling like a conversation about all this was impossible. But 2012 made it possible. And now he feels like it's okay. It's time to talk about it.
Julia Kumari Drapkin. Her climate reporting project at Colorado's KVNF is called I See Change. The website, thealmanac.org. Coming up, secret things that Republicans on Capitol Hill say to each other about climate change, but only when microphones are off. That's in a minute from Chicago Public Radio and Public Radio International when our program continues. This American Life from Ira Glass. Today on our program, Hot in My Backyard. Our premise today is we have started to see in our daily lives around this country the kind of extreme weather that scientists say that we are in store for as the world heats up. I'm talking hurricanes, droughts, floods, some of the hottest years on record, one after another. But the politics of climate change, the way that we talk about it in this country, has been stuck for years. Both Republicans and Democrats have been mired in their own ways of looking at the issue. In this half of today's program, we have a pair of stories, one looking at somebody on the left, the other at somebody on the right, who are trying to reinvent the politics on their side of the aisle. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with the Republicans with Act Two, which we are calling Right Man for the Job. An environmental lobbyist told me last week that our country will never do anything about global warming as long as climate denial is such a big part of Republican Party dogma, right? Until that changes, he said, you can't get the votes to pass anything. But there is a man out there whose mission is to make it possible for Republican candidates to say global warming is real, to make climate change safe for Republicans. And that man is a Republican. Ben Calhoun has the story.
Bob Inglis spent a total of 12 years as a Republican congressman in South Carolina. And here's how conservative he was. These are the numbers. Christian Coalition, 100% lifetime rating. National Right to Life, 100%. American Conservative Union, 93%. An A with the NRA.
What are some of the things that you've been called since you've been pursuing the climate change issue?
Unpredictable, unreliable, unfaithful, a heretic, you know. I've been called the Al Gore of the Republican Party. And that was not meant as a compliment.
I mean, of any of the things that you've been called, are there any that have really gotten under your skin at all or been particularly frustrating?
I think when I was called a traitor on the internet by one of my son's friends who grew up with him, that hurt.
Bob Inglis got taken down in the Tea Party wave of 2010, and he's now talked about as this textbook cautionary tale for Republicans about how dangerous climate change is for conservatives. Going into the election, Inglis had taken a few votes that annoyed staunch conservatives, voting for the bank bailout, against the troop surge. And Inglis says, sure, those votes hurt him, but he says climate change was what did him in. For instance, at a debate during the Republican primary, Bob's on stage with four Republican challengers. One by one, they say climate change hasn't been proven, or that it doesn't exist. They mock Inglis about climate change. At one point, a South Carolina state senator named David Thomas stands up. Thomas had actually supported Inglis in previous elections, but now he was running against him, trying to take his seat.
Bob is almost right. And Alibaba, his insistence on the idea of catastrophic man-made global warming is taking him down a wrong path.
Bob Inglis's eventual defeat was humiliating. He ultimately lost to a Tea Party-backed challenger 71% to 29. I just want to say those numbers again. Bob Inglis, in a district he'd won six times, lost 71% to 29. After that, Bob spent some time thinking about what to do next and decided what he'd do would be to devote himself to the very issue that got him unelected. Double down on climate change. So he started a nonprofit called the Energy and Enterprise Initiative, and now he spends his time making the case for climate change in front of the most conservative audiences in the country, trying to build a conservative coalition on the issue, trying to remove some of the political stigma that the issue has with people on the right. I know, could not be easier.
Every fiber in my body saying you're conservative, you can't believe this.
This is Super Talk Mississippi, the top conservative talk network in the state of Mississippi. This is the morning host, Paul Gallo, interviewing Bob. And just to be clear, this was the first question right out of the gate.
You're asking me as a dyed-in-the-wood, well, native-born Mississippian, will die here to believe that humans are responsible for global warming, and we must admit that. Mike's yours, sir.
Well, yeah, I think what it is the challenge here, Paul, is it's a conversation started by liberals, right? We have liberals that basically started a conversation, and what we're used to as conservatives is they gin up a hysteria, and then they drive through some regulations and some tax increases and grow government, right? And so it's natural that we respond with, no, we don't want to do that. But what we're saying is, okay, what if we change this conversation?
You can listen to great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh. Before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Go home to my Lord and be free. No more moaning, no more moaning, no. In my grave, go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom! Oh, freedom! Oh, freedom over me. My Lord, and be free. Come and go with me to that land. Come go with me to that land. Go with me to that land where I'm bound. Come go with me to that land, go with me to that land, go with me to that land where I'm bound. There's no need in that land, there's no need. In that land where I'm bound, forthwith to that land where I'm bound. Come go with me to that land, go with me to that land, go with me to that land where I'm bound. I'm on my way and I won't turn back. I'm on my way and I won't turn back. I'm on my way and I won't turn back. I'm on my way. Great God, I'm on my way. Gonna ask my brother, and won't you come? Won't you come with me? Gonna ask my brothers, won't you come with me? I'm on my way. Hey God, I'm on my way. Gonna ask the captain, now won't you let me go?
Bob believes the conversation about climate change is broken, partly because the left and the right are incapable of talking to each other about the issue. On the liberal side, he doesn't think liberals understand what they look like when they try to argue climate change to conservatives. How, because the evidence is on their side, they often overplay their hand, and they come off scoldy and condescending. Bob also says he doesn't think liberals understand that conservatives see climate change as what he calls a, quote, lifestyle issue. He says conservatives feel like their version of the American dream is under attack, that somehow parents driving their kids through the suburbs in SUVs to soccer practice are being blamed as the cause of global warming, when in fact everyone uses a lot of electricity and gasoline. Everybody flies on planes. Bob thinks he can win conservatives over more effectively by saying to them, I share your values. I know you're not a bad person, but I think we got this one wrong.
If you believe in taking care of this part of Eden that's left, and if you believe in creation care.
Okay. In all due respect, the people of South Carolina apparently disagreed with you as far as global warming.
That's right. At this point, they do.
I don't believe that humans are creating this, because, and neither do apparently a vast majority of climatologists out there.
No, I was tracking with you. I was tracking with you until that last part. You're just wrong on that last part.
I do a lot of reading on this. You find me your meteorologist guy, and I'll find you mine.
No, actually, you have to go look for the folks that you're looking for, because it's basically like this. 98 doctors tell you to treat your son this way. 2 say this other. It's not conservative to go with the 2. You're talking about the 2 climatologists. You're not talking about the 98.
No.
I mean, those are the numbers.
In the end, Bob doesn't convince the host. But the conversation's civil. He hears him out. Seems like he might even think about it. Which, for now, is the point. For the last year or so, Bob's been getting into conservative publications. Forbes, The Washington Times. He's also been crisscrossing the country, going to D.C., and business schools, universities. Pretty much going any place in the U.S. where he thinks he can get Republicans to listen to him. If you look at the polling of Republicans on climate change, one of the first things you notice right away is this huge gap between how Republican citizens feel and how Republican politicians vote. A recent nonpartisan poll by Pew found that 44% of Republicans believe the climate's changing. Another by Gallup found that 40% of Republicans are actively worried about climate change. With that in mind, consider a vote just a couple years ago on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. All 31 Republican members unanimously voted down symbolic language that would have simply acknowledged the climate's changing and humans are contributing to it. That gap, 40% of Republican voters worried about climate change versus 0% of that committee, that's Inglis's target. That's his business opportunity. That's what makes his mission seem realistic. It's like 40% of Republicans want ham sandwiches. Surely you can persuade a few more Republicans to sell ham sandwiches. Inglis's group has counted all the Republicans in the House and Senate who have ever publicly acknowledged that climate change is real. There's 20 names on their list out of 278 Republicans. The hunch you start to get is that there must be Republicans who believe the science but are just afraid to stick their neck out for the issue.
More from Great Speeches and Interviews after these messages.